Hi, the name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership. In this podcast series, I share with you the formula for creating a meaningful life. By using my life stories and experiences that have shaped me, some good, some bad, I talk you through some of the practical ways to find purpose and fulfillment. It is a weekly series, so do subscribe so as not to miss out on anything. My hope is you too can start creating a meaningful life for yourself. Life, Purpose, Leadership. I have always wanted to do a good job. I have felt very isolated as a teenager. I would do my schoolwork, but I wouldn't be committed to it. My friend and partner in crime, Brendan, told me about the Johannesburg School of Speech and Drama, and I wanted to go. It was a boarding school, and I thought that would be brilliant. I could go to boarding school and get out of the house and its horrible atmosphere. But my father said no, so I never went. And I resented that. It was one thing that really upset me as a teenager. Once I'd finished high school, I went to university, but I didn't go to university to study what I wanted to do. I went to study something because my dad said I should become a teacher. So reluctantly, I went. Yep, the reluctant performer. The best bit about being at university was the drama club. I became the student representative of the drama committee. I won the Best Actor Award that year in the Intercollege Drama Festival and the following 3 years thereafter. I got a real taste of what I thought I could be, of what I thought I could do. It was freeing, being a version of myself that others didn't see every day. I've always wanted to do a good job. I've always wanted to make sure I checked in with myself, checked in with others too. The latter can be a little confusing at times, downright debilitating too. Using others to check in on self-progress allows Mr. Doubt to walk back into my life. Self-reflection ushers Mr. Doubt right back out the door. And I have a brilliant tool to help you with self-reflection. But it's true. When we try to become everything to everyone, we become nobody to ourselves. The trick I've learned is first to become somebody to yourself. As a result, I will be someone to others. It's like I walk this invisible line between the me I see and the me I want to see. It's important to get valuable, timely feedback from friends, from lovers, at work. But why don't we do it for ourselves? We jump into the self-criticism mode. You know, time is a great healer, that over time things don't always seem that bad. You put things into perspective. But have you ever noticed that time can fundamentally alter your outlook on life? Think back to the last time when you had an argument with a friend or a partner or a stranger. In March last year, before lockdown in the UK, I called a car dealership. My new car had broken down. There we were, stuck on the M4 leaving London, and lockdown was looming. I needed a courtesy car. The operator on the phone just wasn't listening to me. At the time, I was fuming. And for hours afterwards, thinking of all the clever things I could have said. The after effects of the argument ruined my whole morning. It's only after I haven't felt irritated by it anymore. And after a great deal of time, I hardly remember it at all. The sting's gone out of my turbulent emotions. The event still happened, but I remember it from a different perspective. My father and I had quite a peculiar relationship. He did the best job he knew how to do. He was criticized a lot by his father and made to leave school. The irony is he too wanted to go to art school. He was an incredible artist. I remember watching him draw these almost photo-like pencil sketches of steam engine locomotives. He was fascinated by trains. Dad relived my grandfather's parenting approach. My father used to say I was lazy. When my father used to say things like that to me, I'd think, well, okay, I'll be that then. which is why I never put a label on William, my son, who's 8. When your parents or someone you love tell you something often enough, you begin to believe it. My father was caught up in the church. His belief that the life hereafter was the most important, we're only here temporarily, and this consumed him. So in my teenage years, he was never around. He was focused on that. He would have great relationships with other people and other people's children in the church. And I seemed to resent that. I don't anymore. He encouraged me and my ex-wife at the time to come to his church, and we did. And I could see him having these relationships with other people in the church. The minister's wife at the time took it upon herself to pray for me because I had unnatural feelings. And when I told my father I was gay, he too wanted to pray for me. When my mother died, I called him. And it was for the first time I'd spoken to him in maybe 12 or 13 years. I called him out of duty to tell him. But I also called him because I wanted him to be kind and console me. He was my dad, after all. I guess I had high expectations of how he would perform, and he failed miserably. All I wanted to hear was, "I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry for your loss." I wanted him to say things like, "Your mother and I had difficulties, but she was a beautiful woman," or whatever. I guess there was a huge expectation on my part that there would be something like that from someone who had never expressed that kind of affection before. Projecting our hopes onto others can be at worst disastrous. At best naive, often our expectations of others are misplaced. Changing your perspective can transform your experience of life. Living my purpose has certainly changed mine. Time is a great healer, but so is living your purpose. The trouble is, as in life, if you solely rely on outside circumstances to change in order to be happy, you have to wait a very long time. If you are constantly seeking feedback or reassurance from others, you end up not knowing who you truly are, who you truly can be. You measure your success and self-worth through another's eyes. Now, I'm not saying don't get feedback. We're all needy and want recognition. But pay attention to the degree to which you seek the approval from those around you. We can easily get caught up in what I call doing mode, getting the feedback from others and making changes. Make a shift in your perspective and feed forward on yourself. It is an alternative to fueling the doing mode and entering what I call the being mode. When your reference points are internal, your measure of success is yourself, and not where others believe you lie in relation to them. It allows you to see your mind in a way that's not distorted by another's reality. You begin to experience the world directly. You see any distress you're feeling or happiness you're experiencing from totally new angles, and you handle life's difficulties very differently. I found I'm able to change my internal landscape irrespective of what's happening around me. I'm no longer dependent on external circumstances for my contentment with what I have done. I use my own values as standards of measuring the way I am being moment to moment. If, like most of the people I work with, you want to make your interactions with others better, if you want to create a strong foundation for building trusting relationships, then you need to take stock. And dare I say, be less concerned about what others are doing. Now, I'm not saying ignore the obvious signs, but don't be driven by what you might be interpreting from those signs. Using feed forward can really help you with this. When we observe without judgment, we create space to intuitively alter how we think, feel, and behave. I'm reminded of the book The Inner Game of Tennis. Ever read it? If not, you must. It talks about us all having a self-one and a self-two. Self-one is your conscious mind. It judges, assesses, and analyzes. When we don't do what we intuitively know is right to do, self-one tells us off. I see my self-one in many aspects of my life, not least of all in my own tennis game. Watch the ball, Dion. You're not getting the right footwork in place before you take the racket back. You're lifting your head when you are hitting the ball. But self-one appears in other aspects of my life too, like running the business, telling myself off for not saying things a certain way when I'm conducting that meeting. I see it as the inner critic, always concerned with making it happen. Self-two, on the other hand, is instinctive. It's intuitive. When we trust ourselves to do what we know is right, we are tapping into self-two. It is about letting it happen. When we observe without judgment, we step into the freedom of self-two, which in my opinion is flow. It is being mode. For far too long, I've allowed self-one to drive my decision-making in life. My mother always said to me, life, Dion, is like being invited to a posh dinner. When you want something and you find yourself getting excited about it, ready to do anything and everything to get it, which she believed was the equivalent to reaching across the table and grabbing, just remind yourself, Dion, that's bad manners. Wait your turn. Your time will come. I take this principle further into helping clients become more grateful for themselves. Self-gratitude feeds an understanding of your choices and of who you are. Mother would say, savor the taste of things at dinner. Enjoy it all. Enjoy the present moment. How many times have you just been fixated on the result? How many times have we stood up in front of a client in a business meeting or in front of a team or just talked at people to get to the end? Being thankful for your choices in each moment can lead you to living your purpose. Being thankful creates an ability to pay more attention to the impact you're having. I know when I've used feed forward when reflecting on my life, I have a very different view of the past and see the future in a new light. I let go of my mate doubt and say hi to my pal belief. Feed forward in my work is to help you focus on the good stuff you do, whilst recognizing the elements you need to improve, and at the same time helping you see what you ought to be thankful for. It's a great, simple tool. So here's the practice. Here's the tool. Feed forward is based on three clear steps. Using feed forward to observe yourself in every aspect of life. When you give yourself feedback or you seek feedback or reassurance from others, it can sometimes come across like self-one judgment. Looking back is not going to help you progress. Without wishing to sound too much like Lady Macbeth, what's done is done. Feedback focuses on the past. Feed forward is all about the future as a great person, father, mother, child, brother, sister, friend, colleague, even leader if you are one. So let's take a walk through the steps. Step one. The first step is all about asking yourself, what did you do well? You need to give yourself space to say, yes, that worked well for me. Yes, I did it. It might be appreciating particular aspects of your last Zoom presentation that went well for you. It could be how you related to a friend just listening to them, because you realized that that's what they needed at the time. It is important to be truthful, though, and mean what you tell yourself. Step two, ask yourself, what will you do next time to change things and improve? But remember, it's not about what you did wrong. This step focuses on potential solutions and improvements, not the past problems. So in essence, it's about questioning what you will do next time to improve. But be specific here. List the things that you could do to improve. And when a similar situation arises in the future, implement some of your improvement list. Step three. And here comes the rub. This is when you need to ask yourself, what am I grateful for? What should I give thanks for? It could be thinking about being grateful for feeling confident in the work meeting, or feeling like you got your point across in a family discussion at home. It could be anything. Again, what is important here is being truthful and mean what you tell yourself. Sometimes the third step can be quite tricky to get used to. But ultimately, step three is about cultivating a sense of happiness with self. There's a lot of stuff out there on the internet about how to do this. Some come across as being a bit corny, but it has more than a bit of truth in it. Actually, it has a lot of truth in it. And let's face it, why wouldn't you want to create a sense of happiness with self and how you communicate with others? And so what you end up with is feeling like you're doing a good job. I have always wanted to do a good job. Don't you? That's it for this week. Stay tuned for next week, where we play around with the idea that we don't have to do things just because others might want us to. So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.